from Will, are you going to do any Taylor Swift talk on the New Heights podcast? No, I didn't watch it. I think I read something about it early this morning. It got, what, like 1.5 million downloads or something, the podcast?
1.2 million concurrent viewers on YouTube, which it has to be some sort of record.
Yeah. I'm not like some that find her annoying because she loves football. I kind of like Taylor Swift. It would not have been in my top 10 to listen to or watch her appearance. And then we can talk about it next week when it's completely old and irrelevant. Before we get back to the phone lines, I do want to play something for you. Max made me aware of something, and I've not heard it yet, so I'm going to be listening to it for the first time with you guys as well. Charles Robinson from Yahoo was a guest on the Inside Coverage podcast with Andrew Siciliano. Andrew, longtime, the Red Zone equivalent on the NFL DirecTV package. And Andrew was here, did some shows for a couple of summers here. Good guy, the whole thing. So he's got a podcast called Inside Coverage Podcast. And Charles Robinson, longtime NFL writer and reporter, talked for a few minutes about the Terry McLaurin negotiations. Here's what he said.
Contract in the realm of 30 that Adam Peters probably doesn't want to do it. So Charles, where are they?
Yeah, you know, I think it was interesting to me because when I went in my mind, I'm like, you know, is this really as bad as it sounded in some moments here? Are they really in that tough of a spot? And yeah, they are. And I think what happened, the way I understand it is, you know, when negotiations first opened, I think the Commanders were a little stunned by initially what Terry McLaurin and his camp were really gunning for in those negotations. I mean, we're talking.
What does he want? Do we know?
Top
32.
So I think everyone's being careful about not saying what the initial number was, but I will say it was what the initial number was high enough that it almost completely broke down conversation instantaneously between the two parties. Like, I think the Commanders were stunned at initially what the ask was. And to me, the inference is this was like nearly top tier one money. So are we talking $35 million annual average value? Are we talking, you know, beyond 35? Are we talking creeping up to 40? Like, what was the initial ask? I think as things moved for both sides, I think we got to this point of the DK Metcalf contract. And the $33 million a year, the $60 plus million guaranteed. And to me, I think the Commanders have approached this from the standpoint of looking at the metrics of receivers who are going to be playing in their 30th year. What kind of contracts have those players signed? Other than Tyreek Hill, right, signing a deal in the 30th year, Devontae Adams signing a deal that took him into the 30th year of, you know, when he landed with the Raiders. You do not have players signing anything above like $23 million annual average values. There's just not a lot of receivers who ever have done that, maxed out beyond $23 million in annual average value, which affects the guaranteed money. So you have Adam Peters and you have the Washington Commanders sitting there staring at this, and they're going, we want to pay you more, right? We're effectively looking at you and we're saying you're making about $23 million a year right now. We are willing to pay you more than that. We don't know that we can get you to 33, right? We don't know that we can get you. We feel like that is still an astronomical ask. So where does this settle out? In my mind, when I look at this and I listen to the principals, I think you fall somewhere in this territory where I think if it can get to $27 million to $28 million in annual average value, if you're getting 50 to, you know, somewhere between $50 and $60 million in guaranteed money, I don't think either side will be happy, but I think it is the middle ground that I think gets, you know, those two sides together. But I had one executive when I was kind of, you know, going through my paces, and I reached out to somebody who knew Adam Peters really well. And I said, you know, what do you think of this situation? And he said, I think people are going to find out a lot about Adam Peters right now because I do not like negotiating with him. He has an edge to him that people, I think, don't necessarily understand. And they're going to see that now in this negotiation. And I think they have in some respects, because Adam Peters has been pretty clear he's not going to budge.
Charles Robinson with Andrew Siciliano on his podcast. So interesting stuff. I mean, I think that it's the first time we've heard that the team was stunned by what Terry initially wanted, that it was top tier, maybe $35 million plus. That would put him, you know, in Justin Jefferson, you know, approaching Jamar Chase territory. As it moved along, it became kind of the DK Metcalf deal that Terry's side wanted. And the team all along was looking at receivers who have signed deals into their 30s. Tariq Hill really is the outlier here because his deal is an average of $30 million per year, but he's not Tariq Hill. Okay, like Tariq Hill's an outlier as a player, as maybe one of the most feared players of the last, you know, 7, 8, 9 seasons, is it now? Something like that, 8 seasons with the ball in his hands. Tariq Hill did get basically in practical guarantees about $60 million on a $30 million per year, 3-year deal, $90 million in aggregate. So the team was looking more at like Davante Adams and some of the other, you know, older receivers that have signed deals recently. Mike Evans, you know, Mike Evans, who is 30 years old and a future Hall of Famer, his average annual is $21 million a year. So the team obviously had a vision of Terry's entering age 30. This isn't his first big deal at 26. That was a few years ago. This is the second big deal at 30. And the comps for that are out there. You know, they are more, you know, somewhere from Mike Evans to Davante Adams to Tariq Hill in that range. So the 23 to 24, 25 range for him. And he says 27 to 28, 50 to 60 guaranteed would be the middle ground. Neither side would be thrilled with it. And then that last comment was an interesting one, that people are going to find out that Adam Peters has an edge to him in negotiating, that he won't budge. Yeah, so that's where we are. Good, Charles Robinson, longtime NFL guy. All right. Let's try to get through some of these calls. Is Terry McLaurin's contract saga, killing your excitement for the upcoming season? Samu's been on hold for a while. Samu, what's up?
Hey, Kevin.
How you doing?
Great stuff. I'm doing well, thank you. I do think you need to repeat it for Ian and Bob, first of all, and for everybody else who doesn't seem to get that he is under contract. But I like your comments about the new ownership, GM, coaches, and of course, Jaden, what they've done for Terry, and, you know, really how much better his situation is. And if he were to go somewhere else next year or whenever, you know, he's not going to do as well with another quarterback, you know, because those teams that have the great quarterbacks don't have a whole lot of cap room, and they also generally have pretty darn good receivers already. But I will always be fired up about the team and this year's teams in particular with all the talent. But my excitement at the prospect of them making a run is waning in a big way. And I blame it on Terry's agent. You know, he's making it more and more likely with each passing day that Terry will have a slow start and God forbid that he, you know, gets injured. So, he is killing my buzz in a big way. And, you know, as I've said, I love Terry and, you know, but we just, you know, we can't stay great following last year if we squander the salary cap space. I mean, my suggestion, like if I was the GM, I would basically say like, look, and I like that he's kind of not budging a whole lot, but look, we'll pay you this much. And I would even say as far as I'll give you $29 million guaranteed for this year, which is way more than you're already scheduled to make under contract,
yeah,
just because we have the salary cap space this year. But then next 2 years, go way down and have it be like, you know, $22 million, and then just a large amount of bonuses. I mean, if he continues to have the year he had the next 2 years, I mean, I don't have a problem with them paying him $32 million. You know, with, you know, but that's a big if, and I do think they need the flexibility. And so I think having a much lower guaranteed amount for the subsequent years would be you know, would be sensible.
I agree with almost everything you said, with one exception. When you said, you know, he won't have the same level of success if he's away from Jaden, I do agree with sort of the overall team's success. But he did prove with like 12 to 13 pretty bad quarterbacks that he could produce basically at the level that he produced last year. You know, roughly 80 catches plus or minus two, 1,000 to 1,100 yards. The touchdown count was much higher. Obviously, the 13.4 average yards, he's much better off being here. I'm not disagreeing with you on that. I think the results might, with a bad team and a bad quarterback, actually might look similar to what he did the first 5 years of his career, or 6 years of his career, whatever it was.
I agree with your correction on that. But I will say also that if you recall last year, he started very slow. Like he wasn't in sync with Jaden the first three, four games. So presuming he gets his butt into camp.
He could have a much bigger year if he doesn't start slowly.
Right
away.
And he can have a much bigger year. And
look, at the end of the year, he had one reception in the playoff clinching game against Atlanta for 5 yards, and had three catches in the Philly game, you know, championship game. Look, his presence on the field is helpful to everybody else, but it's not like teams focus on him and double him and try to take him out of every game. He's not that kind of guy. Samu, thanks, as always. Let's go to Mark in Largo. Mark, go ahead.
Kevin.
Mark, what's up?
Boy, you are lost. Okay, Kevin, let's say we do it your way. Let's say he's under contract. Guess who's not under contract at the end of this year, Kevin? Deebo Samuel! So I'm going to throw out a parody of what could happen, okay, Kevin? And I want you to think about what I'm about to say here. Terry has 90 catches, 1,400 yards. Deebo has 98 catches, 1,700 yards.
Now you're talking about – these are good problems. These are good problems, Mark.
Love to interrupt me.
Oh.
Go ahead, Kevin.
Okay. Whatever you say, it's your show.
Yeah, thank you. It's my time now, bro. So, in essence, what I'm trying to say is this. You have Deebo that's not under contract at the end of this year. Mm-hmm. You have Terry that's not under contract at the end of this year.
Who are playing on the franchise tag on?
Last contract, right?
Yeah.
They're playing on last year's contract. Oh, and by the way, they do win the Super Bowl because Jaden's going to be the new face of the league.
Right.
They win the Super Bowl in 25. They win the Super Bowl in 26. So anyway.
Mark.
Guess who else is going to want another contract extension? Laremy Tunsil. Why? Because Laremy Tunsil's going to think I am the best left tackle in the league. And he may pull a Terry next year.
How about Frankie Louvu? How about after Marshawn Lattimore has 10 picks?
So you got all that?
Yeah.
Now, hold up. Oof. Hold up now.
These are the issues Super Bowl champions have.
He does all this stuff. You got all these guys that want money.
Yeah.
Okay? All of them.
Yeah.
Now, all what Cincinnati did. You saw exactly what Cincinnati did. They had to pay both of their receivers, and they said, "The hell with the defense. We don't care about the defense. We ain't going to do anything about
the defense."
You know,
Mark, I don't even think you realize what you're doing.
What am I doing?
You're actually making a case that goes against your initial case. The reason they don't want to overpay Terry now is for the very scenario you just painted, that they got to pay all these people next offseason.
Interesting.
Yeah. So, but you didn't get to what your lead was, which is, oh my God, who are we going to use the franchise tag on, Terry or Deebo? I would call that a please, I want to have that problem situation. Let me move on. Let's go to Jason. Let's go to Jason and Laurel. I got to get some of these people in before we get Mike Jones on. Jason and Laurel, go ahead.
Hey, Kev. Love the show. I tell you, to answer your question, the Terry situation is not giving me any anxiety or a hard time at all. But some of your callers and some hosts, not you, of course, definitely are. I don't know what's wrong with everybody. 2 years ago, the Wicked Witch of the West died and we got a new ownership group. And he did maybe the smartest thing in the world. He didn't do anything, which everybody had a problem with that. And we got a good enough record that we were able to draft Jaden Daniels because we didn't
good
do anything and just
pick,
build draft capital. Then he hires, you know, AP, who wouldn't even interview with other teams. Epic gets his DQ, who, again, the fan base was not happy about, who makes an amazing coaching staff that he's kept, by the way. Then we draft JD5 and go to the freaking NFC Championship game, and people are freaking out. Are you kidding me? We were such an intense.
I'm with you. This is not killing my buzz at all. Not mine at all. Last year at this time, I had to argue with the people that thought they should have kept Sam Howell and drafted around him.
Yeah.
I had to argue with the people that said that Dan Quinn was the ninth choice. And how did they end up with their ninth choice? So this too shall pass. But to your point, I'd much rather have this, a holdout, a polarizing contractual impasse off of a championship year with an elite quarterback coming back for year two than what we had for all those other years. It's frustrating. It's concerning. It's not killing my vibe at all.
Yeah, but if I could just get one more point, it's actually increasing my vibe, because you're right. This is a little cantankerous, but you know what? We've heard no dirt slinging from the team. They've been 100% professional. We've seen pictures of AP and DQ trying to put their arms around Terry. In the report that your man just posted earlier, a couple calls ago, about how the initial ask was so high, despite that, they've said, hey, we're going to re-sign him. We love him. We want him in the building. They're doing everything the right way, which is a complete 180.
Yeah, that's a matter of opinion. I'm with you. A lot of people disagree. A lot of people are looking at it as perhaps penny wise, pound foolish. Jason, good call. Let's go to another Jason who's been on hold for a while. Jason in Florida, go ahead.
Kevin.
Jason.
Of course this is killing my vibe. We need him. What's the goal this year? It's a Super Bowl.
Right.
Are we going to reach it without him? No.
We're not going to have to reach it without him. We're going to have him.
Okay, you keep saying that. You make it seem that only because he's under contract, he can hold out. Let's say he holds out.
He just would be incredibly foolish for him to do that.
But it doesn't matter. If he holds out for four games and we go, let's say we go 0-4. Let's say we go 1-3. That's it.
Yeah.
Mission accomplished. Our season is over. And then what?
If he does that, I'll blame it on him for being delusional, him and his agent.
Oh, why would you blame it on him if he's just
because
trying
the
to get
team's
his money.
Because the team has offered him a contract extension, and he's got to get real about what his worth is. And I want the team to come up too. Okay, I'm not taking the team completely off the hook, but if he holds out and it impacts the season, it will have done nothing for him. And it would have also damaged the team's chances. So I don't see how
unless the team falls
apart without him and they end up, you know, succumbing to his desires. And I just don't see that happening.
But you're not going to hold AP. You're not going to blame AP for the way he's running this.
Right now, I can't envision doing that. I can't. I'm open-minded to changing my mind. Right now, I can't see feeling like the organization really messed up. I can't see that. I think he is asking for way too much. I think the team probably went in a little bit too low, but I like the discipline. I like the way they're approaching this. I want it to get done. Doesn't change my view. I absolutely want it to get done. I want Terry to get $50 million guaranteed. I want him in camp tomorrow, today, practicing.
I want the team to
have, you know, the flexibility of having him beyond 2026. But right now, as I've been throughout this, I'm more on the side of, with respect to, you know, who's responsible for this, I think it's more Terry. I got to run. Thanks. Those of you that I missed, I apologize. I hope we don't have, you know, opportunities to keep coming back to whether or not this situation is killing the vibe. I hope it gets done in the next week. Mike Jones is going to join us next.